Praise the Lord for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have complete, total victory in Him. One day He'll deliver us home safely, and we'll be there forever and forever. But until then, we have to deal with the pressures and the struggles of life and the problems of just being a individual that lives upon this old place we call Earth. Call that our home. It's there as our home temporarily. And one of these days we're going to a better place, and thank the Lord for that. And while we're here, we need a lot of help. The Lord is there to help us and give us instructions and to give us the daily work of life that we can follow His direction that He has for us. Tonight, if you would, turn to the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4, and then we'll read two or three verses in Luke chapter number 5. In Luke chapter number 4, the Lord, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16, and we find that the Lord is reading the Scripture. And can you imagine sitting and listening to the Lord read His own writing, read not what somebody else has written, but read what He knows is His Word, and then making comments on that. And that is where we find ourselves here tonight in Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 16, we begin reading there. The Bible says, He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book. We're going to go ahead and read a few more verses, but can you imagine hearing the Lord read those words that are written about Him? The book of Isaiah is where He opened it, opened the scripture or the scroll, I'm sure that they had, and He began to read, and he knew where He was going, knew what He was going to read, and there's a number of things here that is given to us about the Lord Jesus Christ that Isaiah prophesied about Him. Now He is reading that in the ears of the hearer. And what he read was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me. I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That was what Isaiah said the Messiah would do. And, of course, we know that Jesus did all those particular things. You could make a message just out of this one verse, really. You can make four or five messages out of that one verse of what the Lord accomplished and what the Lord preached. And he's there in his hometown of Nazareth. He later on tells us that he's not accepted there because no one is accepted in their own country. That's in verse 24. But he is reading there in Nazareth where he was raised, and as his custom was, had a good habit. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's what he was supposed to do. And that's why we go to the house of God on the Lord's day. That's what we're supposed to do. And so he goes there and he stood up to read, and he reads those words. Now look at verse number 20. "And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened upon him." He must have read with a distinctive, authoritative voice or something that would call attention. And as he read that, they maybe had the idea in their heart that Jesus is that one, that he is that one that maybe is the Messiah. And they are even surprised because they later on say, "Well, this is Joseph's son. It's not anything out of the ordinary." But he closes the book, he sits down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? This is Joseph's son. We know Joseph, the carpenter. We know Mary. They raised this boy here. Isn't that who this is? And he's speaking these words, and they're wondering at the gracious words that came out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, we don't have all the words that he said. We have what God wants us to have, but I'm sure he said much more than just those few words that we've read, and it caught the attention of those hearers, and they said, why, how can this be? This is just Joseph's son. This is the son of the carpenter. And how is he able to captivate us and catch our attention with these gracious words? Notice verse 23 now. He said to them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever thou have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And then that next verse, he says, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And so it's very difficult to do things around people that know you, because they say, isn't that just Joseph's son? He's nothing special. He's nothing different. That's just the son of the carpenter named Joseph. And he was raised here. And how is he giving us these wonderful, gracious words? And now turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter number 5, and we'll read verse number 30. It says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here the Lord has his disciples, and they are all sitting together with a crowd of people that the Pharisees would not have anything to do with. They murmured against the disciples. They murmured against the Lord. And they accused him of sitting down with sinners and having a meal with them. And to a religious Pharisee, that was unheard of. They were better spiritually than anyone else. They are the ones that said, we are of our father Abraham. They are the one that counted their pedigree, and they would go back into their history and find out what a great family tree they had. And here these disciples of the Lord, and even Jesus himself, are sitting with sinners, and they're sitting with the publicans. Now the publicans were the tax collectors, and they were the most hated people of the country, and they were most publicans, like Zacchaeus, was a conniving individual, a cheater, was a thief and a robber, and they hated the publicans. When I was a kid, I always thought maybe he's talking about Republicans. I didn't know about that difference there. Might not be a whole lot of difference now between any of them. But anyway, these disciples are sitting down with people that the religious crowd would have nothing to do with. They said, well, those disciples of the Lord, they're sitting down with sinners. We're too good to do that. We have too much pride in our life to do that, so we're going to talk about them. They're sitting with the tax collectors, and certainly they are the hated people of our generation, and we're not going to have anything to do with those kind of sinners. But yet Jesus and his crowd, they're sitting there having a meal with them. And so the Lord hears that, and they ask that question, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said to him, they that are whole need not a physician. In our two passages tonight, we've read that word physician twice. He says in verse number 23 of chapter 4, physician, heal thyself. He said, one of these days in the future, you'll say, physician, speaking of the Lord, heal thyself. And of course, they lambast him, and they mock him, and said, you've saved others, save yourself. If You've raised others from the dead. You've done all these marvelous things. Can you not do that for yourself? So he said, there'll be a time when you say, physician, heal thyself. And of course, that did take place. I looked up this afternoon in my concordance, and the first time that you find the word physician is found in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, verse number 22. I think that the best I remember, physician, is used, that word is used six times in the Scripture, in Jeremiah 8:22 is the first time. And it's a verse that says, is there no balm in Gilead? No healing. The word balm there is an ointment or a healing a salve that they would use to put on people. And he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no way to help? Is there nothing that will take care of the need that the people has? I'm glad tonight, spiritually speaking, there is a balm in Gilead. Spiritually speaking, there is a physician. And we have a great doctor that we can recommend to the world. The physician, Luke is called the great physician. I mean, Luke is called the physician. Jesus is called the great physician. The Scripture tells us about Dr. Luke. He was a doctor that was with the Lord Jesus Christ on many things. And so the health and the frailties of our body physically are nothing compared to the need of our life and our soul spiritually when it comes to the Lord. I'm glad there is a doctor in the house. I remember, and I'm sure you can remember different things that we've watched, and even sometimes places that we've gone, somebody falls sick and somebody say, is there a doctor here? And a doctor will stand, and if they're there, they'll take care of the need that is there. There used to be a old TV program that every once in a while they'd ask that question, is there a doctor in the house? Well, I'm glad tonight there's a doctor in the house. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the great physician that takes us and makes us what we should be. The word, when we think of doctors, we're always thinking of illnesses. We're always thinking of something that's not good. And I don't know, probably if I was to ask a question, within the last month, probably the majority of us have been in a doctor's office for one thing or another. If not the last month, the month that's coming up. Brother George, he knows the doctors real well there in Louisville. He's been with them a lot. And we get acquainted with our doctors. We get acquainted with them. And so, one thing for sure, where the stock markets go up or down, doctors will always have a job to do. There's always people that are sick. There's always people that have a need. And as a Christian, certainly we are to seek first the kingdom of our Lord. We seek first His will and the sicknesses that come to us, but there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with getting help from someone that knows more than I do about my body and my the functions of that particular part of the body. We get sick, we go to the doctors, we find out, try to find help and relief, and we get a cold, we want to get rid of the cold, we have a broken arm, we get the arm set, we have certain other things in the internal functions of our body that we have to go to specialists and have to go to people that are very knowledgeable in that one particular area. Well, I'm glad the Lord is knowledgeable in every area of our life. He's the great physician. And someone says, I look at doctors like I do mechanics. They know more than I know, but they don't know everything. And that's exactly the way it is. Sometimes you take your car to get it fixed and they think they've got it all diagnosed and come home and it still does the same thing. Sort of like physicians, you know, it is called a practice. We sometimes feel like they practice on us. They're not real sure which way to go, so they try this, they try that. And because we don't know all the answers. Our body is so intricately made and wonderfully and fearfully made, the Scripture says, and so people have to see what works the best to help us. And so we look at doctors and they run tests and they make educated guesses and they base it upon knowledge, they base it upon experience, they base it upon education, they base it upon test results. And that's part of that practice that we go to try to find some relief and some help. Unfortunately, there are those today still that we would consider, what used to be called quite often was the word quack doctors. They'd sell you a little ointment, or they'd sell you a little bottle. They'd sell you something that's supposed to cure it all, and they'd give you those things to help. And some doctors just don't care. Some doctors are drug abusers, and some are would get you on that just so they have you coming back all the time. And those are what we call quack. Unfortunately, they're still around. Job speaks in the Bible of those doctors that have no value. And sometimes there is no value in that. But it is a blessing to have a good doctor. Probably all of us have certain doctors that we go to. We trust them. We talk to them. We sometimes open up secrets, open up things that nobody else knows about because it's our body and our life. And so it's a great thing to have a good doctor, one whom we can trust. And we have family doctors, but I'm glad also have a heavenly doctor. And we have one that takes care of us. He's the great physician. He's the Lord. There's a cry here for the physician. Jeremiah, that we read just a moment ago, there in Jeremiah chapter 8 and 22, is there no balm? Is there no healing in the land of Gilead? Is there nothing that can help us in this land? Is there no physician there? Is there no help for us? And so we find that the cry comes out that there is a need for a physician. There is a need that goes out that we must have someone that can help us. Now, sin is not a sickness, even though it's compared to a sickness. In reality, it's not a sickness. Sin is being depraved in our life. It's just the what we are. But sin is made a likeness of sickness in the Word of God. Leprosy in the Old Testament is used many times, and leprosy is a picture of sin. If a person had leprosy, they were doomed. They didn't have any hope at all unless there was a miracle. Unless there was something that would take place to cleanse their flesh. Leprosy was an outward expression of an internal problem. And the boils would break out and the sores would come out. And if you've ever seen pictures of people that have leprosy, the joints of their fingers, their fingers begin to fall off. And their extremities of their body, their feet and their ankles, their knee, everything began to deteriorate and to decay. And so leprosy was a terrible thing, and there was no cure for it outside of a miraculous work of the Lord. And so therefore it's compared to, sin is compared to that because it gradually eats away and destroys and takes the man or woman down to hell. And it will, it is very excruciating, painful, and there's no cure for it. The only cure that we have is the miracle of the new birth, being born again by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank God. I had a professor in college one time that said salvation was not a miracle. I thought, my goodness, salvation is the greatest miracle that ever took place in my life. Now, his definition of a miracle, it probably wasn't. But the definition of the Word of God, something miraculous happens. It's sort of a miraculous thing when we're changed from death to life. Because we're going the other direction. We're going from life to death. Now, we're living and one day we're going to die. Well, thank God Jesus comes on the scene, the great physician. He gives us, those that are dead, he gives us life. Spiritually dead and gives us a spiritual life. But leprosy pictures sin in every aspect. And everyone has health problems. Eventually, everyone will have a problem somewhere in their physical health. But there's a sure thing that everyone has a sin problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a problem. We have a leprosy. We have something that is wrong. And there is a great physician. He can help us. He can heal us. He can handle our diseases. I read a book one time, All These Diseases. It's an Old Testament book. And all these diseases that we have come upon us and in our body. But thank God we have a physician that can take care of every need. But just like there's quack doctors on the human side, there's quack doctors on the spiritual side too. I can name off a whole bunch. You could name off a whole group of those that really just do not know how to have healing. They do not know how to get to heaven. They have taken it and they've turned it and twisted the scripture and twisted the gospel until there's nothing left there that would do any good for anybody. We have these spiritual quack doctors. I'll just call them all doctors and use their last name, Dr. Smith of the Mormons. Now, they do not have salvation taught to them. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they present themselves. I don't care how much they dress up and look neat and go across the country on their bicycles. They do not have the gospel. The Book of Mormon is full of terrible problems and will not give us a spirituality. You have Dr. what was called Judge Russell and Rutherford of the Jehovah Witness. They do not have the gospel. It's always amazing. All these folks that supposedly have a cure, they have more books than we do how to get the cure. All these cults, they have their authors, they have their founders, they have those whom they read after. So you have Smith, you have Russell, you have Rutherford. The Jehovah's Witness have the New World Translation, ungodly translation, belittles the Lord Jesus Christ, tears him down to nothing more than just a mere man. And they go around from house to house and they make doctor calls, but they don't have the cure. They don't have what we need, but they're active and they're busy. Then you have Dr. E.G. White, and she's associated with the Seventh-day Adventists. They don't have the truth. They don't have the message. They don't have everything that's needed to really get... If some of these people get saved, they get saved in spite of what they're taught. They get saved in spite of their church's doctrine or what they read after. I have met some that I feel maybe have come to know the Lord. I've told you before, my brother-in-law, he's a Seventh-day Adventist, very active in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I believe he's saved. And I've talked to him in length of how does he know he's going to heaven. He gives me the same answer I give myself. And I said, well, what about all these other writings? He said, they're just writings of people. And that's what our church goes by, but I believe I'm going to heaven because what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Can't argue with that. But those people like that, they get saved in spite of the doctor visit that come along that's a quack. The Lord comes and overshadows and overtakes those things. We have Dr. Campbell. And just go down the road, you'll find some of those that are followers after him. They're called Church of Christ. Their gospel is mingled with works. Their gospel is mingled with something else. They try to be a physician, but they just can't do it. They try to help you, and again, if people are saved in that, and I'm sure some are, they are saved because of what they read in this book right here about salvation. You don't have to know all the ABCs of the Bible in order to go to heaven. All you got to know is that you need to be born again. Jesus died for you. You accept him. You're a Christian. The Lord says that's all we need. And so the list could go on and on today. My goodness, all you got to do is turn on your TV, turn on some of those stations, and you'll find anything you want to hear and some of it you don't want to hear. You'll find anything out there that's beyond reason and not even reasonable in what they say. And there are comedians and there are people out there that are trying to get your attention off of certain things and make you feel better and smile from ear to ear and everything going well. And all those people try to be a physician, but they don't offer the word of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a great need. There's a cry. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no one that can help us? Is there no physician? Is there no physician there? And so there is a cry goes out that there is a need. In Matthew 14:14, we find that the physician has concern. A true doctor is concerned about his patient or her patient. Here in Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion on them. And the Bible says he healed their sick. That's interesting. The Lord healed their sick physically. He saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. One place it says the word compassion is used different ways, different times. One place in the Lord says he was moved with compassion as he saw them having, as sheep having no shepherd. We dealt with that some this morning. And he looked at them, they're just scattered. But here when he looked at the crowd, he looked at them as one that knew all the diseases and all the physical needs that they had. And the Bible says he healed their sick physician. Praise the Lord tonight. He can take care of us physically and he can take care of us spiritually. We have a Lord that loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus will tell us and lets us know the truth. And he tells us in his word that he will lay down his life for his friends and even for his enemies. Jesus longs for you to come to him, and he loves you before you love him. So he's a great physician. He's the one that looks upon us and he sees us. Now the main objective of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was not physical healing. Now that's something that when you talk to some people, that's all they deal with. That's all they're concerned with. I'm glad the Lord healed their sick, and I'm glad the Lord can heal me if he so chooses. He can heal you if he so chooses, but we don't have to get in a big line and have a big uproar. The Lord can do that in his own time, his own way. He's still the great healer. He is our healer. And so he's concerned about people. And as the Lord looked upon that group of folks that day, he was moved with them, moved upon them with compassion. And the Bible says the end result of that is that he healed their sick. Well, when the word got out that the Lord was doing that, everybody came, multitudes came from everywhere bringing their sick. You can read out different places in the scripture where people were healed because of the Lord. The Lord was never around much sickness unless it was healed. The Lord was never around death that it was not taken care of. Lazarus died and Lazarus arose from the dead. And so the Lord takes care of us physically in the work that we have in this life. And so there is a cry. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no one that can help us? And the physician looks upon the multitude, and here in Matthew 14:14, he took care of their sick. He took care of those physical needs that they have. Thank God he still does that today. But more importantly than that, he takes care of our spiritual needs. He loves us. He teaches us truth. He reveals himself to us, and he longs for us to come to him. And then lastly tonight, there has to be a confidence in the physician. How many of you would go to a doctor physically that you had no confidence in? That'd be hard to do. Sometimes we go to doctors and we lose confidence. So for the things to work as should be, we've got to have confidence that what they tell us, they're doing their best to tell us truth. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Brother, that would bring out confidence. Son, thy sins be forgiven. You see, the reason for the sickness was his sin. The reason we die tonight is because of sin. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the Garden of Eden, man would live forever and forever and forever. Sin brings forth death. James chapter 1:15, I think. When lust is conceived, brings forth sin. When sin is finished, brings forth death. And so we find that when Jesus saw the faith of those that were sick, He just simply said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice the Lord didn't say, and he says, I think I can take care of it. He didn't say, well, perhaps your sins will be forgiven. That's what religion does for us. Religion says, well, if you do this, you might go to heaven. And Jesus said, if you do this, you will go to heaven. I like the confidence that we put in the Scripture and the Lord. You'll notice the Lord here in Mark chapter 2 didn't say, I hope. He didn't say maybe. He said he didn't say I guess, or he said we'll try. I've had doctors tell me, say we'll try to figure out what's going on, and that's all they can do is try. But Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven." That's not a perhaps. That's not a maybe. That's not a hope so. That's not a I guess. That's not we'll try. He just says, "Forgiven." Praise the Lord tonight. We have been forgiven. The Lord here didn't say the probabilities are. They always like statistics. I like statistics. Sometimes they come back to haunt you. The statistics are so many out of 100 will be healed of this if you do this. Well, it'd be my choice in life or my lot in life that I might do that and still not be healed, because there's that not for sure. The possibilities are. The Lord didn't have to say here to these folks, let me run some more tests. How many of you like tests? They take your blood and they look at it and they don't find everything they want, so they take some more blood, they take some more blood, they run some more tests, and you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's because they don't know. It's because they're doing their best to get the answer. But praise God, Jesus has the answer. Praise the Lord, He takes care of me. He says, thy sins, that's the problem. Thy sins are forgiven. That's the cure. And glory to the Lord for that. He is confident because the Lord's never lost a case. Never. I can have confidence in Jesus Christ because He has pretty good track record. Has pretty good ability. Has pretty good record of what's been done. It's all recorded that we need to know in His Word. And by the way, John says there's much more that Jesus did. And if we used to write them all down, the world wouldn't contain the volumes of the books. The Lord must have been a busy individual. John said, we can't record it all. We don't have room for it. I'm glad tonight He's given us a Bible, 66 books. And these words and characters and these letters that are put on paper, print. God did write a book. God has given us a book. I listened this morning to Dr. David Jeremiah, and he was talking about the Scriptures. Boy, he did a great job. If you want to hear a good preacher on Sunday morning, just tune in to David Jeremiah. He's good. And he said this morning, he said he only pastored two churches in 50-something years. One he started in Terre Haute, Indiana, and then moved to San Diego, and has been there all those years. And he has had a message this morning on the Word of God, and it was excellent. Our Bible gives us the past successes of our physician. Well, there was a man that had leprosy, and a little girl said, just go dip yourself in Jordan, and you'll be okay. Naaman the leper, we call him. That's, in his mind, he mocked and made fun. He said, I'm not going to go down to that dirty river Jordan. Why, here in Syria we have clean rivers. Why can't I do it there? And his servant said, Master, if the girl had told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have tried to do that? And she just told you to go to the certain place, certain river, dip yourself seven times. What's so hard about that? So Naaman goes down there, and when he comes up, the Bible says his flesh is like the flesh of a baby. Pretty good past record. Pretty good taking care of his people. Lazarus died, and he was already, his sister said, Lord, you're late. He's already, he's been in the ground 4 days. He's already stinketh. Deterioration, decay has already set in. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what? He came forth. I'd like to have seen that. Lazarus didn't walk out of there because he was bound head and foot. He was like, they buried like we picture a mummy. Jesus told him to come forth, and buddy, he came forth. I don't know how he got there, but he came out. And Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. That's why the scripture says it has to be loosed. He was bound, solid. But yet he came forth. Jesus has a good record of success. So I can have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can look at the situation and I can wonder about it, but he knows about it. I wonder how did this happen. I wonder why did this take place. When I had my neck surgery and the neck problem, I wondered over and over and over again. Certain incidences or certain things that I tried to go back. Is this what messed it up? Is this what happened? I can go back to two different things that had happened just right before I started having problems. But I still don't know why it happened. But you know what? The Lord does. I have a different perception than maybe he has. And he has the power to overcome all manners of sin. All manner of sickness. Jesus died for every sin, for every sinner. Thank God it's whosoever will, let him come. He died for every one of my sins. He died for every one of your sins. And guess what? He died for every one of the sins of people that have already died, believers and non-believers. Somebody said, you mean he died for the lost? Well, yes, he did die for those that even would not accept him. He came to his own received him not. He knew that. But he died for them. And then we find that not only does he die for every sinner, not only does he die for every sin, but thank God he can save every sinner. There's no case for our physician that is too hard. The doctors, they'll come to the conclusion, we've done all that we can do. Best thing you can do now is go home, use the time that you have wisely, go home and take care of things, get everything in order, because we've done all we can do. And what they're really saying is, and we don't like to hear that, but what they're saying is, get ready, you're going to die. And I can't help you. Oh, thank God, Jesus Christ. He tells us to get ready because we're going to die. But the difference in the earthly physician and the great physician is that he can help us. They can't, maybe. I may have a disease invade my body. Cancer may come back. Cancer may come in and it may overtake me. And the doctor said, there's nothing else. But Jesus said, there's no case too hard for me. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Oh, yes. Is there a physician there? Oh, yes. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes back to his hometown. He reads the book that prophesied who he was and what he would do. He closes the book and those people are amazed at what they hear. Isn't he just Joseph and Mary's son? Never a man spake like this man, they said. Is he speaking of himself or some other man? They had questions about him. But Jesus said, one day you'll say, physician, heal thyself. And they did that as he died on Calvary. Thank God not only can he heal himself, he needs no healing, but he can take care of me. He can take care of you. Praise the Lord tonight. I have confidence in my physician. Had one more point. I'm just going to leave it all. I'll read it to you. The charge that comes from the physician. We don't like that, do we? You go to the doctor and about 3 days later, sometimes it don't take that long. I think they got the bill in the mail before you get there. They just know what it's going to be. So here, when they get back to their mailbox today, they'll know what it cost. Thank God salvation's free. Praise the Lord for the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did have something the other day take place that I don't know, don't remember it ever happening before. A guy, I got a check back from a hospital from 2 or 3 years ago. I'd already forgotten about paying the bill. I guess insurance paid it along with me. And they got around to giving me a refund. I thought, well, that's pretty good. Never had that happen before. Praise the Lord. The Lord, He says, I can heal you, and it doesn't cost you not a dime. Praise the Lord for salvation, full and free. Let's stand together tonight.